Hey everybody, it's Grandpa Bill. Thanks for joining us at today's show, and I want to talk to you about one of Michael King's fine products, one of the many under the herbs and superfoods category, and that one is adaptogen and mushroom blend. Adaptogen and mushroom blend capsules and powder sizes available in 120 cap, 240 cap, 480 cap, and 2 ounce, 4 ounce, 8 ounce, and 1 pound versions available for you. It provides a smooth, vitalizing influence, delivering 5 to 6 hours of calm, sustained energy with each dose. 2 to 3 caps in the morning and again in the early afternoon provides energetic support for the whole day, leaving you with energy left over at the end of the day. It contains several adaptogenic herbs, which provide immune and hormone balance influences, along with a general strengthening of the whole body. Ingredients: 7 mushroom blend of shaga, cordyceps, lion's mane, maitake, reishi, agrican, turkey tail, beringa, ginger, ashwagandha, barami, cordyceps, coriander, damania, devil's club, hawthorn berry, just to mention a few of the fine ingredients in the product. All of our product ingredients are whole, earthen in nature, and are sourced in this order of priority: wildcrafted, organic, or grown without chemicals. We do not add fillers, excipients, or flow agents. Our capsules are vegetable sourced from pine bark. The recommended low use dosage is 1 teaspoon and or 4 capsules, 2 times per day in food, water, smoothie, or Suma raw tea, another fine Michael King product we'll be talking about. Suma Raj tea. I'll show you that in Around the Palate Warehouse show a little bit later over my Grandpa Bill's Grunts and Groans podcast. The recommended high level use is 1 to 2 teaspoons, 4 to 8 capsules, 2 to 3 times per day. Additional information and frequently asked questions: other herbs in adaptogen and mushroom blend help to improve endurance, better performance, an increase in repetitions, superior oxygen utilization, faster workout recovery, and an accelerated tissue rebuilding following stressful workouts. It improves mental concentration, meditation, qigong or martial arts practices, sustained mental focus during a busy workday in the office, and extended endurance for those with physically demanding jobs. Allows you to work a long day and still have energy left over at the end of the day, improving the quality of time spent with friends and loved ones after work, something Michael and I will talk about a lot. Spending time with loved ones is a subject for my next show, and it'll probably be included in this show or future ones as I do my Grandpa Bill's Grunts and Groans podcast. We'll be talking about family. Long-term usage gradually builds health and stamina due to the formula's nourishing influences upon the kidney, jing, and energy more subtle and more foundational to overall health than the qi. It nourishes the body's immune system and cardiovascular system as well, strengthening the overall physical constitution, improving resistance to health compromises, while helping to restore greater youth and vitality. In future shows, we'll talk about energy and brain power, earth and sea greens with SBOs, fiber blend, and spleen builder, just to mention a few within this category of products. Now let's get back to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'd like a hot dog all the way, please.
Coming up. Here you go.
Thank you. Ew. What is this?
That's a corn-based hot dog flavored tube-shaped thing. It's almost good, That'll be $4.50.
You know what? No thanks.
If almost good enough isn't good enough for you, why would it be good enough for your pet? Add Kennel Kelp to your furry friend's diet. Sprinkled on your pet's food, Kennel Kelp helps with arthritis pain and stiff joints. It can also reduce shedding, fill in missing areas, and improve their looks. Healthy pets show even more energy and have better attitudes. See results in 4 to 8 weeks. The good news is, Kennel Kelp isn't just for pets. It's good for you, too. Sprinkle it on your cereal or use it instead of table salt when seasoning your food. Kennel Kelp is the holistic care solution for pets and their people. Safe for dogs, cats, birds, cows, chickens, reptiles, almost anything that walks, flies, or slithers. It's a holistic health solution for humans, too. To learn about their many products, visit kennelkelp.com. Get Kennel Kelp for a happier, healthier life.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show where we're talking about empathy today. You know, empaths, of course, have an extraordinary capacity for union. We're usually great in a crisis. Usually we get calls when our deepest abilities are needed. We get called out. Usually in crises, or someone needs help, or what have you. Usually empaths make gifted intuitive healers. They see others deeply, well beyond the surface. And we have a magnetic quality, usually, that draws people to us. Yet flanking out or positive aspects, there's several sides. What to focus on and how to help yourself as well as those around you to live in a state of physical and emotional equilibrium, balance, equilibrium. Developing boundaries as an empath, usually give too much space to others' emotional lives, and you solve their problems with ease and help them restore equilibrium, often at the expense of your own energy, emotionally and physically. So, empaths have a tough balance of kind of being the father, the security for the males, for we males, the security guard, the father, the protector, if you will. It's almost an innate habit that we're in tune or on alert as empaths, so much of feeling other people's pain, literally and figuratively, in some instances, depending on our own intensity within of being an empath. It makes it tough to return to your own state of awareness. Now, not that goes between lucidity, my lucidity is because I had trauma, but in and of the fact of being an empath, you can wave in and out of the shores of your own awareness, if you will, by always trying to have that protector. And it takes a real matter of mental discipline to say no. So when you already have a diseased brain and you are an empath, your limits need to be integrated into your physicality. The core body is where anybody's power is. So I find a lot of it by my self-improvised yoga practice. It's not structured. It's not in a salon. I simply take deep breaths and move and focus to intrinsic core, my core, and try to focus on my prana, in the belly. I've talked about this before. Deep belly breathing for one. Your core body program should and does include awareness, strength, flexibility, and the capacity to release. I try to work with my core in a holistic way, which this flowchart, if you will, is within the guise of a holistic game approach, game plan. And to try to stay grounded to get back into my body and replenish my energy stores. Mindfulness tools, the tools that I use to help me monitor where, when, or whom I'm focused or try to be. And then fighting through the trauma and the brain fog and what have you all accumulated in there. I have to stay focused and notice when I've migrated into someone else's experience, which happens a lot for empaths. It's a hard bridge to gap. Bringing awareness into your body, if you've kind of sort of left your body, now stay with me, if it was like you left your house, your car, your apartment open. With no necessarily maybe security, window latches or locks, if you will, if it was a house, to try to frame an example for you. That's what it's like to be an empath. You can abandon your abode, if you will. In favor of someone else's. And the more you do this, the more difficult it is to return to your own central point, your abode, your comfort zone, your house. What matters worse is that not inhabiting your body for the moment it can create the mindfulness becoming almost beyond your reach. It's a little vague, it's hard to convey this, like while you were exercising, you can offset the tendency toward disassociation. But you have to slow your pace and your mind down. So you throw a little bit of the central nervous disorder in there. Nervous system disorder. It literally and figuratively upsets the proverbial apple cart. I spend a whole lot of time, in my own case anyway, of trying to create a pilot, if you will, a guide that helps bring you back into your own body and into the present. Meditation, definitely, is a good one. It's the silence you need to get rebodied again. All of us probably can raise our hands to that. Empaths is a different standpoint. Just about everything. You're trying to balance your nervous system. An empath's environment is kind of like an emotional... trying to find an example to use. Almost like an emotional beam, if you will. Like a sound, like a light beam, like a ray beam. Your nervous system surfs like a ham radio, if you will, when you really have to fine tune, even an AM/FM radio, I guess, if you used it that way, where you really have to fine tune, you know, when it's all staticky and you can't quite get that adjustment into the set on the dial, if you will. But your nervous system, under that premise, it would be like when you get frustrated with the radio on the station that you really, really want, if you will, and you just can't get it in, static or whatever, that precipitates that onset of a rush of, okay, well, now I'll just start going from station to station. I'll find something to listen to, if you will. It's a broad example, but if you're listening, especially nowadays, to everybody's remorse, complaints, anxiety, potential job losses, all that kind of stuff, relationships being severed, with reckless abandon. So that process catapults your nervous system into overdrive in and of itself, let alone if your nervous system is already impugned or endangered, which reinforces anxiety, depression, and chronic stress. And then I've talked and talked and talked about EMFs. It's an incessant electronic overload. Social media, emails, cell phones, Bluetooth, 5G, cell towers, satellite dishes, microwaves as in the oven, microwaves everywhere as in the crossbeam rays. An empath has to learn to recognize the signs of their nervous system going into overdrive, such as that inner sense of something always just kind of percolating beneath the surface. You get an elevated heart rate. You can get emotional reactivity, obviously. You can practice simple breathwork techniques, which I do forever, with the nasal breathing, a little longer exhale, slow your heart, bring your nervous system back to baseline. And regular breaks from social media help to protect the innocent, as do practices that balance your nervous system and your mind, be it restorative yoga, stretching, weightlifting, or whatever. I do a lot of self-improvisation that works for me. Don't do too much structured textbook type of things on just about anything. I do a lot of self-improvisation with the guidance of, if you will. So a lot of instances, intimacy in empath's lives, I've had many tell me, fellow empaths, over the years, as clients and as people, that space, reciprocity. Reciprocity is a big one. You've heard me talk about that in business and in life. So, intimacy, be it intention, emotional, physical, or spiritual bonding. At times you need so much space that having your own personal universe would be too crowded, if you will. Timing, balance. When you need to merge, you can be threatening someone's space, vice versa. It's a high speed society as a whole. You need breathing room sometimes. Then you need wide open space, nature. That can come off as being remote, withholding, introverted, which empaths are in some or most cases. And when it comes to reciprocity, first of all, you may not be comfortable on the receiving end, but in most instances, there is no receiving end. What you give in a lot of instances does not come back. Your giving nature can attract narcissist people who crave the mirroring and validation that you offer. If you do, if you allow yourself to, as an empath. And you can inhabit that fantasy as though it was real, both in an intimate, personal husband, wife, lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, in that way. Boyfriend, whatever, who cares? That's not the point. Intimacy in that arena. But you can learn to subsist on a diet of mere emotional. And your emotion isn't nourishment, if you will, in proportion. If you were to use it as sustenance, you'd be getting the minimal amount. And you could actually be suffering from malnourishment under that premise, if you will. So you want to build your ability to receive and care for others, especially when you're an empath and you're in a healing service business. It can be not counterintuitive, but balance. You can balance a personal process of dealing with empathy, stress, anxiety, whatever, in a group setting, be it formally structured, yoga, or whatever. If the introverted thing is a more higher degree of concern as you're trying to reestablish your equilibrium. There's no broad-based program for empaths, per se. If your job requires you to have public exposure in and of itself, I mean, I was in sales forever. So now that I'm trying to increase my work as a healer, when it gets entrenched enough to do so, I may need stretches of alone time to reestablish my equilibrium. I've needed my own time to establish equilibrium forever. Mindfulness based on practices that can help me notice the feelings of being devoured and interrupt the cycle or the merger in the isolation before it reaches a breaking point. It's a constant balance for myself to do that. I try to develop emotional immunity. Empaths so easily pick up on others' emotions and even their direct inner experiences, usually more rapidly than others. And it's hard to identify what's happening to yourself while you're trying to figure out what's happening to the person, situation, whatever, that you're having empathy for. As a result, a large part of your anxiety, depression, chronic pain, and immune issues can belong not to you, but to someone else. And just like your nervous system and physical body, your emotional body and immune system does indeed struggle with the boundaries, can have difficulty discerning what's you and what's not. This can leave you vulnerable to emotional issues like anxiety, depression, and chronic stress, as well as autoimmune illnesses, allergies, fibromyalgia. Let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll look at maybe building in some filters when we're empaths. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show, and thanks for joining us today. We're talking empathy, what it's like to be an empath. One of the more insidious consequences of the many of being an empath, it depends on your applicable, if you are indeed one. Your own ownership of if indeed we have a thick skin, a thin skin, an emotional skin, figuratively speaking. Or if you have a skin as in the organ of the body, your skin. You can have allergies, of course, in your skin. But we can have allergies as empaths in social settings, large arenas, gatherings, or not. But somewhere along the sliding scale, usually an empath, to whatever degree of introversy, of being an introvert that he or she may be, slides up and down the social scale accordingly. And on the inside of an empath, depending on the situation, it can mirror the attitudes, the latitudes, to some degree, of those that you may have empathy for. So it exposes your nerve endings to a react, counter-react, and then if you have shame, rage, or your person that you have the empathy for has any of those, be it isolated instances of life or ongoing. It's an offhand comment from a loved one, a request from help from someone. If their resources are at a low ebb and tide flow, if you will, and then vice versa on your own ebb and tide flow as the empath, it's just what triggers what. You know, you're a weird guy, or you're this, or you're that. What triggers what? If it's the personal relationship, empathy, scenario, household, your relationship, my relationship, someone down the street's relationship, broad-based statement has to be fine-honed in to whatever situation it's applicable to. So filters, empath filters. What's an empath filters? Well, again, situational, personal development, unique to being one, chronology, life experience, being in tune, out of tune, being grounded or non-grounded. There's so many variables. So once we've developed a filter, if it's whatever, society gets under your skin, you can pull for confirmation from others to get your army, if you will, behind the filter. That you're trying to establish as you build your own fortress, if you will, if you want to compare it to a fort, protection, surrounding your army behind your fortress. It can feel comforting to have an army behind you. Initially. But are the actions of the filter that you're trying to set up within the ranks of your legion, your army, if you will. Are they really wired to the sensitivity of a whatever danger / safe? Ongoing saga of the sojourn of life. So obviously the narrative of life is usually many encounters, if you will, but you may hone in on one, a handful, whatever, especially as an empath over time and your chronology having a short amount and or long amount of time to feel such sensations and trying to discover knowing what you are. Those of us that are true empaths, you gain sort. It's almost, what do I want to compare it to? Like only in this example, as the consistency of a bar of like peanut brittle. We're not talking about eating or healthy habits right now in this example. The consistency of a peanut brittle bar, if you will. That's kind of how your fragility, whether you're a fragile empath or whatever degree, all the way up to including the hardness, if you will, but you're as brittle as your peanut brittle bar, if you will, and or can be. You know how a peanut brittle bar, you break it off and it cannot always be an even piece, or you drop it and it fissures or whatever. It's the best visual that I can try to create for you. So your outer shell always protects us from whatever, good, bad, the ugly, injury, whatever. Then if you start to take it deeper, your personal intimacies, interrelationships, you are an introvert, you're an extrovert, you're whatever you are. Often the deepest and the hardest work for any body, but especially an empath, it happens a lot of times long after an interaction is over. Be it personal, professional, the guy down the street, somebody you admire, whatever. There are situations that you're feeling empathy for, and or their physical pain, which is a tough one for me. So when your nervous system, which mine's already screwed up from, you know, when I had an accident, well, that's okay. But to gain that balance, if you will, is a constant battle. So over time, all of that restorative energy, interaction, encounters, again, on the chronological ladder, for myself, I've been around a couple days now, going into my 67th. Yeah, empaths have a really tough time changing their filters, if you will, when it comes to necessary for, not like, well, words today in present arenas and what have you. Past tense wasn't necessarily for safety. So what's more adjusting yourself if you are on that ladder where you have a thick skin, a thin skin, somewhere in between as an empath? It's always uncomfortable within yourself. It it's somewhere by, that's why, well, there's a multitude of reasons why we have propensity for caffeine and coffee. Unique to myself, it's so complicated. Reformed alcoholic, addiction in and of itself, cravings, what it's done to my body, all that kind of crazy stuff. But that's combined with my screwed up nervous system and brain and self-induced and toxicity and career choices, selling industrial chemicals, unique to myself. It can be a little death, in quotation marks, within your nervous system. And somewhere in between that caffeine drive, if that makes any sense at all. Let me try to... You can feel within yourself at any given time as... Not so much like you're dead. Dead, gone, expired. But that you're dead. You're dead tired, if you will, okay? And then that jolt of the nervous system getting rejuvenated by the rush of the caffeine. Stay with me now. That's kind of like what an empath can. I only speak from my own accord, by the way. I don't necessarily know to the letter of the law what other empaths feel, other than those I've exchanged this with, and they've retorted it to me. How they feel, or whatever. It's constructive internal reflection, in my own case, or destructive, depending in the eyes of the beholder. See, we have so many outside influences judging us, and then we do the same. And unfortunately, as we've overall, in the overall strata of humanity, in wherever we're at right now, you can feel more embodied with what's an epic battle with yourself and empaths and feelings and all of these things that you've tried to set up, barriers, filters, cushions, barrier, you know, whatever. So as you battle that, but at the same time, are an empath and you're battling whatever it is that you're in empathy over, with and for your friend, your brother, your cousin, a situation, possibly situations that may involve masses of people, whole societies, whole populations. Like Larry. So other empaths that I've had, past tense, present, known, and have exchanged this with, and vice versa, and the question is always to me, not me so much asking them, is how do I get rid of this? That's why they go pay big bucks to people that are professional at this, and that's the first thing that I said to them. For all of them, whoever they are, and say a lot of times, presently, clients and otherwise, how do you get rid of it? I'm not credentialed, but I am one. So I'm not credentialed on how to tell you how to deal with it, but I am one. So from that objective, that's how I usually open up and we exchange pleasantries. So it's a lifelong journey of self-discovery for sure. But it's not a prison sentence. It's not a prison sentence. It actually can be quite beneficial in if we can channel it correctly and with our legions to channel it correctly, can actually be quite positive. Can deepen your work life if that's what you want, enhance your physical health for sure. And most empaths need a community. A tribe of their own, if you will, especially with their empathy of a situation, feeling that with many like numbers of intuitives, individuals of like mind, and a shared language, if you will, that's a great way to unload burden. You have more filters, you have more defrayers, you have a larger, if you compare it to your neural fibers in your body, you have a longer network if you have enough intuitives and like-minded individuals that are reflecting and filtering and helping and vice versa, so that whatever we are, it isn't as overwhelming. So once you've ingested this feeling of belonging, that's where my overactive, stay with me now, that's where my crazy brain and my overactive central nervous system can work to my advantage, and I found that it has. Because the task is to resist the temptation to stay in what can be, whether it is or not, a safe environment with your legion. You always have to expand your legion. Reinforcements. Reinforcements. You have to add them, cultivate, instead of both personal and shared practices that not only bolster your body, but calm our minds. Thus the name of this show, Mind, Body, and Soul. Holistic Healing Hour. We have to be grounded literally and figuratively within the legion of our intuitives and like-minded individuals, so we can all explore ourselves collectively and individually in more of a safe harbor. It's like sticking your toe at the beach in the water first, checking the temperature, or do it in shallow waters, if you will, before you go out to the deep waters. Sometimes it seems like the transformation in my own meditation processes through my own is about the transcendence. And sometimes and somehow you leave behind your flaws, perhaps, in the eyes of the beholder, to achieve a measure of whatever anybody calls it, spirituality. In my case, I like to think of that way. Some measure, nothing's perfect, and neither is anybody. Thus is why two areas human. We aren't perfect if we're human. And for me, whatever spiritual evolution, I'm not, it's just, yeah, I'm not going to go there, but I'm spiritual. And especially in my own emotional health regime, because I am an empath, it's a reckoning for me when valuing the challenges that we're all facing internally, externally, within you and without you, but my own set of challenges in this marathon of life, most assuredly, going into the home stretch on my chronology ladder and whatever I've incurred along the way. So sometimes the gaps in our sojourn, our evolution journey, all the things that we've lacked for whatever the reasons individually really are when we self-reflect. Then you become aware. Then you wake up. it's to whatever degree of awareness is intertwined, I think, innately in our moral fiber, which again is who we are at conception in the womb, not Vera, Chuck, and Dave, the outer shell. Working hard in labor, in your careers, in life, to me, it's a measure, I'm not sure about, honor is a tough word. Honor is for veterans, or honor is for a distinction that you should be honored for. Military service, most assuredly. And I'm not a veteran. Just have kudos of respect for them. So, when you work hard at trying to develop skills, and I'm using my quotation fingers, that others seem to master so naturally. The reward for your work, if you're not gifted or it just didn't come to you, be it sports or movies, or you can sing or you can write well or you act well or you're very gregarious, whatever your attributes that seem to come to you naturally in some cases, they are, they're gifts, they're gifts. So for an empath, the reward for the hard work that it usually takes most of us just by being so, because in a lot of cases we're not gifted, and we have to work really hard at being an empath, at being non-gifted, and just trying to go in the right direction to aspire that without anger, doing it calmly, serenely. There comes a moment in time when usually just as a human being, something or somebody or an activity or whatever the example is will precipitate your nervous system just because it does physiologically. The trigger. So when you stimulate your filters that you've worked at establishing, if you have any innate filters, that can be a complexing situation as well. It can literally tie you in the proverbial emotional knots. Your stomach's tied in knots. Boy, my stomach's tied in knots. That may be really happening. We'll dissect that at another time, but that may indeed be really happening. Not just figuratively speaking. So you can notice the signs of activation, elevated heart rates, a common one, difficulty breathing, intense emotional reactivity, and an immediate gravitational pull towards whatever it is that is setting your empathy off to that degree at that particular time. Then you've got to come back mentally and actually feel where that activation of whatever got you activated to react as the empath that you are to whatever situation precipitated that in you, unique to each and every day of our lives with all kinds of multitudinous interactions and scenarios, of course. Developing. So you remember to feel where that activation is, because, you know, is in your body. Where do you feel it? Where do you feel it? Where do you feel it? Do you feel it in your head as an empath? Where do you feel it? So you remember to feel where that activation is in your body as the empath. So often for we empath, it's usually the upper core of the solar plexus area. You can bring your hands to that area and breathe deeply into it for several minutes. Try it if you've never tried it, seriously. And if you are one of us, try it. Don't knock it until you've tried it. And if you are really at critical mass, and that doesn't do it in and of itself to at least start to bring you down in the case of connotation of bringing you not down, depressed, down in a downward direction on your neural fibers and your stress level. Then you can bring your hands to that area as well if you need a little additional push or, well, that first one didn't work, if you will. I do it for several more minutes. I do a lot of self-improvisation on that. You know, if you do it overall as the technique and then just, I don't know, you know, I feel better when I move both hands over my left breast, or I feel better when I move both of them over my right. Or I put one on my solar plexus and one up on my shoulder. Creative freedom, get the job done. But you can bring your hands up to that area and breathe deeply. Again, for several minutes, or whatever your capacity of lung breath, you know, play along, please. Thank you respectfully. And it's still highly engaged. And you can build up to, over time, by practicing the deep breathing, because you're diminishing the oxidative stress to your body, that not getting enough oxygen to it causes all kinds of problems that the person that you're probably having empathy for is suffering, whatever they are, because they're not breathing right in a lot of cases. Seriously. And then the vice versa scenario. And then you're stressed out, if indeed applicable as the empath, about feeling their pain, and them not breathing gets you frustrated. So then you can defray from your own regime of regimented practice and start to deviate from the old proverbial, you're not practicing what you're preaching. And once again, nobody's preaching anything here. So once you feel that deep worth of daily empathy, you can find a simultaneous sense of yielding, resistance. It's a roller coaster. It's truly an emotional roller coaster. You can feel a beautiful solidity overall. I think it's a great way to view the world, especially now. If you can get some intrinsic values, practices, outlooks, so you can regurgitate up that joy that's down there in our belly somewhere for each and every one of us. Creating that bubbling center of balance. So you have a well of beneficial movement, cognitive movement, and awareness of the movement within your body and without you. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the show. We'll make this the last edition episode, segment of today's episode here. Finishing up a little bit with empathy. As I said earlier, sometimes as an empath, it takes the blossoming of planting the seeds so many years ago. So, I don't know, 27 years of doing this solo, as a business, and doing it for 67 as a so-called human being. If your empathy gets to a degree that it really seems out of control, and I'm not speaking first person now. I speak in first person and I let you know that. I'm not to that level where, you know, I would contemplate doing anything crazy or something like that. So in empathetic regulation, or highly sensitive people, there are clinicians so designated for that. I help anybody any way, shape, form, or manner, and I completely do that as a holistic healer. But I am not a practitioner. I am an empath. So over the years, I've gotten some deeply impassioned responses to products that have helped alleviate that segment of society's, yeah, their animals, anxiety, stress. So it's everything is about balance in life. We've talked about that for 40 years. Nature, quantity in nature. You have to be in nature. You have to get out. You have to breathe. When Michael King gets here to do so, I'm going to have him talk more about our efforts to taking the time within our tribe, our legion, of really trying to hone in on the people that we belong with. Not only in the ways of balancing personal empathy, and not only segmentizing it to empaths, but I think it's a vehicle, again using myself only as an example, of trying to how we can all bridge to a life of balance and boundaries that have meaning. I do feel your pain. I do, literally and figuratively. So, with the intuitives that I've opened the gateway to, to have their own shows, books, articles, successful podcast shows, all of the above, great article writers, so, in closing, We all can calm down our crazy lives. We have to find the balance. The balance between yourself and not depleting yourself. That's so exhaustive and draining on your immune system in and of itself. That's why we'll talk about Vitality Herbs and Clay. Well-crafted foods, tinctures, minerals, and electrolytes. Michael and I will be getting into how to build your health, how to maintain your health, the truth, starting out with, as I've always avowed, Michael concurs in any of us that are affiliated with, the truth is not a single product, none of which have represented past, present, and most assuredly future, natural or otherwise, including everyone I've ever talked about, mentioned, represented, nothing is capable of healing the human body. Not an herb, a clay, a vitamin, a mineral, a supplement, a seaweed, an algae, an organic food, or any other substance is capable of healing the body. In every instance, the body will take the nutrition given it, break it down into millions of pieces, in every instance, the body will make the nutrition given to it with those million pieces. Combine it with other components already available within the body, within you and without you, to make new compounds. Then deliver those newly formed metabolic compounds to the places that it knows it needs to go, all according to the body's own wisdom. In this manner, the body creates its own medicines, which are nothing more than its normal complement of amino acids, proteins, enzymes, hormones, and a vast number of other natural chemical processes. Our job is not to target diseases or micromanage specific chemical reactions or hormone levels. Our job is simply to nourish the body with a complete spectrum of the kinds of foods that it'll recognize as real food. And real food is that which is compatible with the organic nature of the body's original construction. The human body is a natural organism. It was created from the dust of the earth, or the clay of the earth. Therefore, the perfect food for the body will also be of earthen origin, unaltered. Earthen resources that qualify as real food include such things as clay, water, algae, seaweeds, herbs, fruits, nuts, seeds, and vegetables. Anything less than whole would not be a real food. This includes natural vitamins and mineral supplements assembled by a laboratory rather than by nature. So our job is not to try to improve on nature with our so-called science. Our job is merely to provide the body with an abundance of real food and let the body decide what to do with it. Earthen resources contain a vast array of nutrient-based building blocks for the body to select from in order to construct the body's own medicines. So it's our job to not toxify the body with foods that are neither real nor compatible with the human body. and to detoxify all that is foreign and poisonous. In this manner, the body will have the greatest freedom to select from the vast array of resources that Michael King, myself, and many of the stalwarts I deal with provide in order to simply clean house and build life-giving strength. Trina Felber, America's Nurse, Michael King, Michael Adams, Kathy Donnell Visick, and the animal and human genre, because she believes so many of these things personally. So again, this entire process is performed not by the manipulation of chemical reactions, but through our support of the body's own inherent wisdom. There's really only six causes of discomfort in the human body. Again, these are all subjects I can't wait to talk about with Michael King in each of them, but they are imagery, toxicity, malnourishment, system weaknesses, poor diet, and lifestyle. In regards to imagery, it would be limiting the beliefs or perceptions of what is possible. Toxicity from the environment, home, work, food, medicine. Malnourishment from food quality, growing practices, use of microwave ovens. Bad one that Grandpa Bell still does too, working on that. High temp cooking. System weaknesses, digestive, immune, lymphatic, circulatory. And the poor diet, how we've already talked about food combining, Michael and I, the last time he was here about a month ago. Food quality, food sources, and then the lifestyle, living outside of the natural order of life. None of the above are a disease name. They're natural. Diseases are just symptoms of one or more of the above. There's nothing more compatible or more effective than the right combination and quantity of whole earth and resources, herbs, clay, sea vegetables, to give the body exactly what it needs to restore health on its own. Air, water, sunlight, prana, yes, prana, we'll get to prana, plant-based phytonutrients and soil-based minerals are the body's most original food sources. Properly nourished with whole earth and resources, the body will have what it needs to simply clean house, build strength, restore proper working order, and heal itself. Clearly, lifestyle changes, shifts in internal and external perspectives, internal and external perspectives, and devise improvements in diets, which will be required as well to ensure maximum results. Yet any movement in the whole earthen direction will propel you to that ultimate goal. Any of the statements I've ever avowed at my website, at my blogs, here, there, or everywhere, have not been evaluated by the FDA. Individual experiences do not represent a clinical study or imply that anyone else will have a similar experience from what I'm avowing, and most assuredly when Michael gets here to do so. The information contained within us and without us, either at our websites, our blogs, our podcast shows, wherever, it's not intended to replace competent medical advice we've all for our entire careers induced instilling that, of course, see a practitioner, be it for yourself, animals, or otherwise, in each and every scenario. None of the claims or observed results have been evaluated by the FDA. This information that we avow, write, author, live, breathe, is designed merely for informational purposes to share what amounts of science is currently known and what anecdotal experiences some have had so as to lay a foundation for future resource. We'll also seek out and encourage interchange and interaction in comments at the show. Positive, of course, we monitor those by leaving a message. This information presented there and within our websites has been based partly on the traditional and historic use of a given herb or a variety of published peer-reviewed studies, my own, his, ours, and/or any clinical trials that are generally not recognized by any U.S. government agency or medical organization. This information has not in any way been evaluated by the USA Food and Drug Administration, nor has it gone through any rigorous double-blind studies required before a particular product can be deemed truly beneficial or potentially dangerous and prescribed in the treatment of any condition or disease. It comes from the earth, you see. Furthermore, the information presented here is not presented with the intention of diagnosing any disease or condition or prescribing any treatment. It's offered as information only for the use and maintenance and promotion of good health in cooperation with an informed medical practitioner, which assuredly you should do with yours, who would be an informed medical practitioner. No responsibility is assumed by me, any author that's on my show, involved in my show, publisher that I've ever met, relayed, talked to, interviewed, any of my distributors, past, present, or future, any of this information. It should only be used in place of a licensed medical practitioner services. Thus is why I do everything through the guise of Dr. Dustin Sulak, talk freely about him, for him, just took a certified course through him, and he's been my clinician and prescribed many things for me in life over the last 6 years. No guarantees of any kind are made by the performance or effectiveness of the preparations that I mention and or offer, and I've always offered them as a conduit to the direct sources of the folks that manufacture the said products when, where, and if applicable. I'm not a practitioner, I'm not a manufacturer, I'm not a mixologist. So we urge anybody with questions about the safe use of clay and herbal products when Michael gets here to do so. If you're pregnant, check with a knowledgeable healthcare provider. That's no aspersions on Michael. He's not a licensed practitioner. He'll tell you that himself. We do not claim that these products cure, treat, or prevent any disease or ailment. The Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act requires us to say that. So we just did. And I've said it for like 40 years of my own in anything that I've ever done. Going to end the show on that for today. Always remember that BH Cells, Chemical, Ada's Animal Products, CTFO, Michael King, Vitality Herbs and Clay, all my supplying vendors, their products, we all promote good health in animals, their people, plants, and the planet. I want to invite and thanks all my invitees that have come in from my CTFO sales team, their teams, referable, alignable network marketing where applicable, ubiquitous audience, invited audiences. Please, if you do like our show, like the information, please like us and share us. It helps us on the algorithms and social media, helps us advance in the search engines, get the message out. And to all my Goodwill ambassadors, thanks for your hard work. Always onward and upward. We go together. This is an intuitive of like-minded intuitives. It's a legion of. We encourage those that want to help us. Check out our advocacy programs. Join the water consciousness movement. We grow exponentially through referring both the show, the businesses, and what we're trying to avow to alleviate pain and suffering in ourselves and all around us through community. I'll say bye-bye for now. We'll see you in the next edition. And may God bless. Stay tuned for our inaugural show coming up real soon with co-host Michael King. Bye-bye for now. May God bless.